Recording live from Adam's laundry room, the place where the cat craps. This is the Punk News Podcast, episode 244. John.
Hey, Adam.
John, I'm moving.
How's that going?
Well, it's going okay. But there's not a lot of furniture in my house right now. And there's actually nowhere to sit. So I've created this thing where I've grabbed like a kitchen chair and then a bunch of pillows, and then I have my computer and all of my fancy recording equipment here on top of the dryer. And there's probably going to be a fair amount of echo and like water noises and things and my cat that are going to happen during this episode. So, to anyone listening, sorry, you know, I have yet to complete my mobile recording studio. So this is what happens. joining us on tonight's show, along with Mr. John Gentile out of Philadelphia, Mr. Tom Trauma out of
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Why do I think California?
Yes. I'm Midwest, dude. Midwest. I don't know.
Oh, anyway,
you need to get a bunch of those. You need to get a bunch of those like plastic milk crates, like you kept your CDs and floppy disks in college. And you could just set your whole studio up in there. That's all the furniture you really need, right?
You know, milk crates betrayed me the other day.
No,
because I had always assumed that. I don't know, maybe I was wrong, but like records fit in milk crates, like do they not?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, well, not the fucking milk crates I had. I'm packing to move.
You know why? Because you got metric milk crates. That's why.
They're probably from IKEA or something. They're foreign milk crates.
Adam White's got metric
Who redesigns
milk
a milk crate? It's one of like I go to put them in and the milk crate is too short by like an inch.
Well, maybe if you sold milk in quarts and half gallons instead of half liters, it would fit, Adam.
Actually, I think 4-gallon jugs fit right in there perfectly, but I don't know. I haven't checked.
To correct you, sell milk in bags, and you get 3 bags in a bigger bag.
What, you sell milk in bags?
Bags.
Bags.
Wow. Bags. So many differences between our countries.
In one odd ovular bag, and you take that bag and you put it inside a like a plastic holder thing that holds
it's
the
like
bag.
An udder. It's actually an udder.
And then you snip the end off the bag so you can pour out of it.
I imagine like you
I do to, not defend this system. It's super weird, but it's what we got.
I imagine you go to like Canada and like the most basic things are like super weird, you know? It's like to go to the bathroom, like you have to like hoist yourself up with a strange mechanism.
Yeah. They put gravy on their French fries, for God's sake. I mean, it's obviously a twisted place.
I've never had that, but honestly, I might be able to support
it. It's pretty good.
I'm surprised that as you know, the people who live in like the capital of gluttony, you guys wouldn't put gravy on damn everything.
Yeah, gravy and bacon. we drink gravy. It's a beverage. Sorry.
So here's the deal. I know that this show gets some criticism sometimes because, like, we don't know what the fuck is going on and we don't actually do any research or anything like that. But I legitimately have no idea what is going on right now. So this is going to be really good. So let's start talking about stuff. I guess the first thing that we should talk about, and this is an old man story, in that we are going to sound like old grumps.
Adam, we got mail. We should read mail, though.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm getting ahead of it. All right, everyone, stay tuned. We're going to get really grumpy and dismissive about a band that everyone loves in, like, 5 minutes. So you go.
All right, so anyway, Adam, maybe this man will cheer you up. This is from Josh G. Josh G. I'm going to not read all of it because it's really long.
Are you making someone up?
I swear to God, this guy's real.
Like, this is John Gianfilli.
Josh G. It's his brother. Long-lost brother.
No, this is a real guy named Josh G. who emailed us. I suspect it might actually be somebody else, like, posing as a Josh. But it's not me. This is a real email. It says, "Hey, guys. I've been listening to the show since about September and still consider myself a bit of a new listener. I'm up in the Newmarket, Ontario, just an hour north of Toronto, and enjoy that there is a lot of regular discussion about the Canadian scene on top of everything you guys talk about. I heard Dilly Dally on one of your recent shows, which was awesome since they're from my town. Anytime you guys talk about the Flatliners always makes me happy. Anyhow, a couple of weeks ago, I heard you talking about Amnesia Rock Fest, and I thought you might like to hear about an experience from last year's festival. I had a blast at Rockfest last year. I have included the schedule as a crude diagram that I whipped up very quickly to put the schedule into context. On one side of the park were Tony Sly and the Mitch Lucker stages. These would be comparable to the Warped Tour side stages and alternated back and forth. Simultaneously, you would have the other three main stages on the other end of the park on their own schedule. The Jaeger and Bud stages would run at the same time as they were far enough from each other that the bleed wasn't an issue. Then the Lodo Quebec stage would run otherwise since it was in the middle." So anyway, it sounds to me like Amnesia Rock Fest is kind of like a labyrinth, if you will, of stages. But anyways, in terms of programming, there was a lot. I saw the better part of 35 bands during my time at the festival. I saw almost everyone I wanted to see, as well as some things I wouldn't normally because there was a gap in what I wanted to see. Even if the sets overlapped, I managed to always catch at least half of the set per artist I wanted to see. Rarely did I have to make the decision to skip someone, but I may have gotten lucky. You'll also notice that they took care to program different genres on the stages that ran simultaneously, which was great. My only disappointment was that the No Use for a Name tribute was just some random band from Quebec. I'm guessing the Op Ivy and Rage Against the Machine tributes will be a similar situation. Regarding my camping experience, parking is probably a challenge if you don't pre-plan for it. However, we received plots right next to the camping we paid for. We went the simple route and just the general camping, no VIP bells or whistles. There were 14,000 tents. Wow. There were 14,000 tents in the general camping, and the rows and plots were very well laid out and easy to find during setup. It was a 20-minute walk to the festival grounds from the campsite, which was fine for us. Although I had a fantastic experience last year, I'm told the last 2 years prior were a tad less user-friendly and that they had to make major improvements from 2013 to 2014. It seemed like they did. I wasn't sure if I wanted to tackle the event again this year, but the lineup is pretty solid again, and it seemed worthwhile to brave it for at least one more year. And for one thing, and one other thing, I've got a band. I'd appreciate it if you would just mention it, which we will do. He's got a band called Letter Bomb, which I wonder if named after Circle Jerks or not. You can find them at letterbombband.bandcamp.com. Thanks for taking the time to read this novella of mine, and thanks for everything you do at Punk News. Cheers, Josh.
14,000 tents is like 28,000 people pooping.
Ooh, that's like Burning Man.
So, ooh, like... That's a logistical nightmare at least from a waste management standpoint. It sounds like a great music festival. Don't get me wrong.
Adam, I had no idea that you were.
I don't want to be the guy cleaning.
He's a civil engineer.
Adam, I had no idea that you were a waste management aficionado.
I'm just assuming. I mean, I don't. It's not my trade. I'm more of an amateur.
Well, speaking of waste management, we also got an email from Jason Dick. And Jason Dick, he writes in a lot, and every time he writes in, he's anti-John Gentile. He's got a beef against me. And for a while, I didn't read him because he was kind of a troll, but he's matured, if you will, so I'm going to read the letter, even though it's anti-John. Here's Jason's email. "I'm not going to try to convince you that Strung Out is a good band, but to pretend that they are a mid-tempo pop band just shows you haven't done your homework. I assume this is directed at me. They shred on their most recent record and are considered a great technical punk band with tons of killer riffs. I'm also not sure how they can be considered a nostalgia act when they consistently put out new material, unlike Flag, who were purely a nostalgia thing but championed by Punk News as the greatest. Fat has a lot of long-running and influential bands, and if it's not your thing, that's fine. But to think that they aren't still relevant or don't stir up something in the listener is just stupid. Lagwagon put out arguably their best record of their career last year and played to sold-out crowds in every city. and the audience wasn't just older guys either. Love the podcast, but you clearly have a blind spot for epiphat bands. If I recall, John didn't even know that Bad Religion had a song called American Jesus. Love the podcast, Jason in Pittsburgh. Well, Jason, I appreciate you writing in, and I'll leave it at that. What can I say?
He's not wrong, John. Oh, Flag.
Flag was amazing. It was literally one of the best shows I ever saw. It was insane. It was literally, like, Flag was one of the few bands that really lived up to the potential. Like, it was so insane. It was so great. Flag
so was so great. Are you doing the live Flag record that Record Store Day is promising us?
It's a live off record. I'm definitely
off. Shit. All right.
Honestly, Adam, like if I had to pay $300 for a live Flag record, I would do it. Like that's how bad I want one. But friggin' Greg Ginn, who's a dick and has to squash everyone's fun, won't let it happen. Even though he's got his own thing. Even though he's got his own band. No Flag live record over here because he's scared and he's a dick. He's a genius musician, but he's a dick, and I will never forgive you, Blakin, for robbing me of a live Flag record.
Oh, I like how we turned that from being actual discussion about Strung Out into something else.
It's great, because almost every time I'm on, we find a way to hate on Greg Ginn. It's like a prerequisite. Maybe that's every week.
I used to love Greg Ginn, and I used to say, he's weird and he's kind of a dick, but he's a genius. And he's a genius, but he robbed me of a Flag album. He directly stole something from me.
He should sign off on it. That might actually move a few copies, unlike the last, you know, official Black Flag record.
I hear you. But the guy, see, that's the tragedy of Greg Ginn. He's so pity, he will cut his nose to spite his face.
Well said, John. Well said.
Let's talk about Brand New, Adam.
Oh, yay. Okay.
You're holding up for that Brand New live album, too, I bet.
All right. So, sorry, it's... Brand New is the band I was alluding to, and I was saying earlier how we're going to sound like old men, only because a lot of people really love Brand New, but I feel that they're like a few years removed from what we should be listening to. And it's funny, though, because you can totally find evidence on the internet of where I have to eat my words here, because when I was just a young music writer person – and I was very, very self-conscious when we started doing like top lists and stuff like that, over trying to make my best of lists at the end of the year representative of like what the people actually, you know, would think was the best stuff as opposed to just like what weird shit I was listening to. So I used to write these like really kind of shitty best of lists back in the day. And I'm pretty sure that I ranked Brand New's Déjà Entendu record quite highly the one year. And it was basically because I looked and I saw everyone is into this record. I got to get into this record. So I'd listen to it and I'd listen to it and be like, yeah, okay, I get why people really like this. I understand. So therefore it's one of the best records of the year, but holy shit, if that's a band that I have never thought about since I wrote that list. And I don't want to disparage them or anything because I know a lot of people love them. And a lot of people who I love them. But man, I have no nothing for Brand New. So that's where I'm coming into this from. John, who does not have my soft upbringing and was raised by wolves... never had that phase or that moment of weakness where he succumbs to the Brand New hype or anything. But I did. But they have a new band. They have a new song out. It's a single. It is their first since their 2009 record, which was called Daisy. So this song is called Mean. M-E-N-E. Many. Mean. I don't know. But you can find the link on Punk News to go check it out. There's a video on YouTube that has the song on there. The people who read Punk News they seem to like this. So what do we think? I'm sure everyone wants to know.
Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they played a club here. They were doing I think they must have been off for a while or something, but I know they were playing Riot Fest Chicago. So we're only about 3 hours away. So they played a club show over here last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember. But I remember it sold out so fast. And I literally am like, I have never heard of this band. I didn't even know who they were at all. I was shocked. That goes to show, you know, the bands that I think are very popular, you know, draw 200. But But yeah, I was sort of shocked. And listening to this, based on the people that I knew that liked it, I didn't think, I thought it was really going to be awful. And it wasn't. It wasn't awful. It was just okay. Yeah. High praise.
Honestly, a lot of people my age and a lot of people, well, actually people slightly younger than me, people about 2 or 3 years younger than me, love this band. They think like this band is the greatest thing ever. And I think I've heard a few brand new songs here and there, and I was like not into it. Brand new is a, like, I'm with you, Tom. I don't think Brand New's that big of a band, but they're like a radio band. They are, like on Facebook, they've got almost 1 million fans, right? Compared to say Against Me, who only has 245,000. So Brand New is almost 4 times as popular as Against Me. You know what I mean?
Well, the same club. I've seen Against Me in the same club twice that Brand New sold out in a matter of hours, and it's always half full, which is actually a good draw for a punk show, by the way.
So anyway, though, I was expecting to hate this. I didn't hate this, honestly.
Pretty aggressive.
It had a driving the vocal. It has driving tempo. The vocals were, but this is my problem with a lot of, I guess, modern pop punk or however you want it. It's just not nasty enough. It's just not rough enough. That being said, this had some energy. This had some tempo, and I was surprised how the lead singer. I was listening to the lead singer. I'm like, who does this guy sound like? I realized he sounds exactly like the guy from REM, Stipe, Michael Stipe. Like, it sounds like he's Michael Stipe. I was really surprised by that. So I didn't hate this. I thought, well, this is okay. You know, a lot better than a lot of the other junk out there, honestly.
You know what? What I remember about the band and this is a band where I have not listened to their past two records at all. So I have no means of judging or, you know, their progression or anything like that. Was that back on that Déjà Entendu record that everyone liked, you'd listen to those songs and you'd think to yourself, wow, like if I was in the right time and place where this was going to emotionally hit me, this could really emotionally hit me. And I think that for a lot of people who are in that, you know, right mindset, that's why this is such a beloved band for them. I mean, talking about Record Store Day, which is coming up this weekend, they're doing a vinyl reissue of that record. And the one of the guys that I'm going to try to go to the stores with had told me like that is what he wants. And this is a person that me and him click on most, you know, musical things, but he was just saying that like you know, he will kill for that vinyl reissue. And I was thinking like, really? All right.
People are freaking out. I watched an hour and a half long video about just some guy going through the Record Store Day things, and he's like, this is the number one, like, this is a guy with like taste, you know? He's like, this is the number one pick, the bagged reissue of the Brand New record, you know? I was like, maybe it's us. I mean, I didn't hate this, though. Honestly, I really didn't hate this. Like, if this was on the radio, I would say, okay, it's fine, you know?
So, yeah, so this should be shocking to people, is that
we didn't hate something.
We didn't hate something.
Yeah, we begrudgingly think it's okay.
It's like they put a stick on their next record, like not hated by the guys at Punk News. Like, it's the highest praise.
Oh, this is good. So, all right, let's circle back to Orgcore here, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to get too weird with what we're talking about. So Punk News had an exclusive that we ran just this morning, actually, where we announced the details of a whole bunch of releases that are coming out of No Idea Records. So over the next few months, the label will release 9 different records or so, including some reissues, some brand new releases. And on top of that, there are plans for many, many more coming and things that are being recorded. So should we just read through the list here? What's the best way to approach this?
Just blast through them, and maybe we'll each pick out a couple that we think are interesting.
All right. So first of all, I mean, if we're talking about Orgcore, we have to talk about Hot Water Music. So they're going to reissue 2 of their records. Finding the Rhythms is going to be remastered by Dave Eck at Lucky Lacquers. And the release will be a double LP or a single CD. The album art will feature large versions of the missing original paintings, and as well as some never before seen images. Also, their Live at the Hardback record, which is of course a live record, will be remastered, and will have a large booklet and a bunch of live photos of the band and liner notes by the band. So those two things are coming out from Hot Water Music. Speaking of Hot Water Music, Chris Willard and the Ship Thieves have renamed themselves Ship Thieves, and they're going to be releasing a 10-song album late in the summer. And the band still has the same lineup that they did before they renamed themselves. So then, moving on here. Okay, in June, the label is going to release Black Tower's album, The Secret Fire. It features members of Crusades, The Creeps, and The Visitors. So a Canadian band here. Punk veterans Radon have two split EPs coming out, one with Shallow Cuts and the other one with Japan's Worthwhile Way. Those are expected later in the year. There is going to be a 3-LP I Hate Myself discography. The release should have about 25 tracks on it. It should be out before the end of the year. There's going to be a reissue of material from Small Brown Bike. No release date yet, but they're going to re-release The Riverbed and other records that are going to be reissued soon by No Idea include, what is it here? Palatka's The End of Irony and a double LP by the Blacktop Cadence. There's also going to be an American version of Germany's No Weather Talks new record. What else do we have here? We have more.
A whole bunch of bands are recording albums.
Are recording, yeah. So Billy Nomates just finished recording. No release date set yet. And there's going to be recording soon from Dead Bars, Shallow Cuts, Radon, Post Teens, and Whiskey and Company. Crusades are going to become are going to record at some point this year too. So that is just a ton of stuff. And a bunch of really classic, to me, like classic No Idea acts mentioned in here, since we're talking about like Radon and I Hate Myself. So I don't know, like, what do we think of this? This is a lot of stuff.
Well, I'm glad No Idea has been so active. I mean, I'm happy when anytime a record label is doing well. So to have this many records in the works at once means they're probably doing pretty okay, you know. I would say that Post Teens is a cool band. I've got one of their 7-inches. It's definitely a cool release, so I'm definitely interested to hear what they release next. They had some momentum. It kind of seemed like it faded away, but I think maybe they'll come back with something mind blowing because they've had sort of a gap. Black Tower is also an interesting band because it's essentially punk rockers do new wave of British heavy metal, Judas Priest or Iron Maiden style. So, is it supposed to be a shtick, or is it supposed to be serious? I'm still not sure, but I'll definitely check out that record when it comes out.
For me, it's Small Brown Bike. That would be the reissue that I would look forward to the most. From right here in Marshall, Michigan, they're kind of post-punk. I'm sure you guys have probably heard them. No Idea puts out a lot of good stuff. It seems like I have to do mail order with them at least once a year.
The Riverbed. Is that the Small Brown Bike record that was
mine? Well, I was going to say, I actually don't have that one. So I may have to pick that up.
No, Dead Reckoning was my Small Brown Bike record.
That's really good.
That was the one that I got into. I think I'm pretty sure they played Warped Tour back in like 2001.
Could be.
And
that record. They had beards before it was cool.
Yeah, that record came out, and I bought it, and I was listening to it, and I was just thinking, like, wow, this is not the kind of stuff that I listen to. And it was one of those, you know, introduced me to the whole gruff, beardy person genre. But there's a lot of stuff here. I'm really interested to hear Black Tower, only because it keeps with my theme of enjoying weird stuff from Ottawa. I mean, New Crusades would be cool. The last handful of Crusades records have all been amazing, so that's good. Hot Water Music reissues, I like Hot Water Music a lot. I can't get super excited about them, but there are a million Hot Water Music vinyl nerds that are just, you know, lining up somewhere.
Is the age of Hot Water Music over? Are they past their prime, but are they past the general interest of people? Are they past being a cultural force in punk rock? I mean, they've been around like 20 years or something, right?
I think it's going to take a bit for them to like set the agenda again. Like, you remember, like when they went and signed Epitaph, like that was huge, breaking current news. Like everyone was freaking out about the fact that Hot Water Music had signed Epitaph, and like, is this the, you know, and the two or three records before that, every time the band released a record, you know, people were up in arms about whether they had sold out or changed their sound or anything like that. Which is funny because if you listen to them now, like there's a great continuity of evolution between Hot Water Music records that is a fairly gradual curve to me. Like they never did anything that was like completely bananas, but people treated everything that they did with a huge amount of importance. So I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Like I think if Hot Water Music goes and announces a new record tomorrow, people are going to be excited because they like Hot Water Music, but is it going to dominate the conversation in the way that they used to? Probably not. And I think that's just them being an older act that have, you know,
their last album came out, what, 13 maybe, Exister. It was actually pretty good, but yeah, it was kind of, it didn't definitely have the impact that those, you know, they used to crank out a lot of records. Bottom line, you look at their discography, they put out a lot of records over the course of a decade. Now they, you know, their output is what, every 5 years or something, so.
Yeah, I don't think that they've necessarily lost anything. Like, they haven't gotten worse, even though I didn't really like Exister as much as the handful of records that came out before it. I think it's just that they're a known commodity at this point. Like, there's nothing particularly dangerous about new hot water music.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's nothing dangerous about it. It's like having a beer with an old friend, right?
What if they came out with a Power Violence album? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? like, they don't tell anybody. They're like, here's a new album, and it's like a Power Violence album.
You think you could be inspired to write a Power Violence album by, you know, like, wearing flannel shirts and fishing and sipping whiskey? I'm not sure.
Hey, man, if Iggy Pop can do a 1920s French covers album, then Hot Water Music can do a Power Violence album. But speaking of daring musical challenges, daring risks, a fellow named Baz, who's also of the French punk outfit P.O. Box, just organized and performed and recorded a 50-piece orchestra version of NoFX's Decline. That is, he put together 50 people in an orchestra and did a rendition of NoFX's opus, about 18 minutes, I think this song is, The Decline. I don't know about you guys, but I thought this was cool, man. I think the NoFX song is cool and daring and interesting, and I think it shows that this artist, this guy Baz, is daring and talented, that he can take essentially a punk song and make it sound wonderful and pretty and interesting and daring as an orchestral piece. But it also goes to show that NoFX are quite the composers if their music can be transliterated into a orchestra setting.
I don't want to hate on this because...
You're going to hate on this?
No, I'm not. I don't want to hate on this. I mean, like...
That implies that you want to, though. Like, you say, I don't want to. It means deep down you want to.
It's not that I don't want to. It's so... Okay, I don't know. I don't want to. That's actually what it is. No, okay. So, from a strictly, like, a sitting down and listening to music perspective, I drifted as this was going. Like, I wasn't paying a super amount of attention to it, which either says something about my literacy for, you know, classical orchestral music, or just the fact that I had, like, other shit going on today. But, you know, but the actual, like, you know, whether Adam is interested in a symphony aside point, this took an insane amount of organization. Like, not only did are we calling him Baz, or like, are we calling him BAZ?
It's called BAZ. It sounds
the
cool. BAZ.
Well, he would be the BAZ though. All right. So the it's not just that he had to take and arrange the song for, you know, for being performed in this way by this many instruments, which means, you know, again, you're not just writing one piece of music. You're, you know, writing different movements of that piece of music for different instruments and stuff like that. Like, there's an insane amount of work there. Then you had to get 50 people into a room, get them, you know, get them practiced, get them on board with doing this, get them, you know, in sync and playing together. And it's like there's like a lot of human power involved in this little performance of a NoFX song. And that's kind of astonishing. You imagine that, like, you know, of course he's going to be into it because he's the artist that's taking on this project. But you got to keep all those people not only playing well, but like motivated to be a part of this. And you imagine like how hard it is for like some bands to get like four people in a room to bang out a shitty song. This guy's got to get like 50 people in a room to make this happen and have it sound good. Like, that's pretty incredible. So, you know, that's why I said I didn't want to hate on it. I mean, like, I don't know if this is – I don't actually know if this is any good. If you, like, gave this to some, you know, orchestranews.org, would they be able to sit down and, like, give a good commentary on it or not? I don't know. But I just think – it just in terms of, like, you know, like, holy shit, good for him for making this happen, then I'm going to give him that.
Well, you said your mind drifted, and of course your mind drifted. They put 50 people in a room to essentially make background music. I mean, it's not bad. I don't mind classical music. It's sort of – relaxes me, but it's you know, it's meant to be played quietly in the background. It's not necessarily meant to be sit there, you know, listen to every note.
I think you guys are being haters. I mean, Wagner is very exciting. You know what I mean? I think this is a cool, interesting, challenging thing that he did. And I support him. Although I noticed in, like, their press release photo, they stole Punk from Punk News. Like, their font.
We didn't make that font, you know.
Adam stole it from someone also.
It's a font.
Like New Times Roman.
You can get it on the internet. So.
But we had the ingenuity to do P-U-N-K, those letters together.
Oh, we did. We did invent that term.
With that font, I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm watching you, Baz.
So, all right, let's take a little break, play a little music here. So, if you're looking to relax a little bit and to, you know, to follow up your symphonic NoFX experience, this is not what you should use. So there's a band out of Hamilton, Ontario, called Dead Tired. Dead Tired is the new band of a guy named George Pettit. George Pettit was the screamier of the singers from Alexis on Fire when they were together. So George, he left Alexis when they broke up. I'm pretty sure he became a fireman for a little while. And then I assume he's probably still doing that. But anyway, so then he formed Dead Tired with a bunch of various Ontario music scene people. And they play loud and they play hard and they play fast. So we're going to play a song, which is the first song off the band's debut record. It's called Court of Public Opinion. It's super angry and super loud, and it will make you wake up. So here you go. This is Court of Public Opinion by Dead Tired. We're back. John, do we have to talk about Amur?
We do. We should. Because punk rock is not about... Well, it is. Punk rock's about having a good time. Punk rock is about interesting art. Punk rock is about critical thought. But punk rock is also about righting the wrongs of the universe. And let me tell you, Amur is one of the wrongs of the universe.
So this dude not being able to sing is sort of a righting of the wrong. Is that what you're saying, John?
It is.
I can't stand this band's picture.
I can't stand this band.
So, all right. Anyways, good news. Amur has canceled all upcoming shows. The band cites frontman Frankie Palmieri's vocal issues. The band stated, due to unfortunate circumstances, we must cancel our upcoming EU-UK touring plans with Caliban, Thy Art Is Murder, and Sworn In due to Frankie's still-yet-to-be-determined healing process. He has severe acute and chronic reflux laryngitis and a weak partly paralyzed left vocal cord. We appreciate the support we received on the last tour with Suicide Silence in Frankie's absence. At this time, we're going to put our focus towards writing a new album while he recovers, and hopefully we're going to see you all soon. Now, Amir last returned, or last released Eternal Enemies in 2014. John, I'm hating on this, but mainly because I hate their photograph. I don't know if I've ever heard of Muir.
Oh, this band is bad. Well, first of all, this is one of these bizarre new bands that's death metal, rap, pop. And I'm all for, like, merging together genres that don't work, fit together, if you can do it well. But this is not done well. This is done hard. It sounds exactly like it. Like, it sounds like we'll have a death metal part here, a cheesy white boy rap part here, and then a pop part right here. But that's not why this – I mean, that – that's just the tip of the iceberg why this band is bad. This band is extremely – this band is one of the worst. I actually just learned there's another band – like, this is a whole genre. There's another band called Attila that does the exact same thing as Emir. Basically, their shtick, and it is a shtick, is that they kind of act like they're gangsters. Like, not gangsters, gangsters. And they sing about how much money they make and how they have sex with all these girls. But they're very, very, very sexist in their lyrics. And one of the things they do is they're sexist on purpose to cause a reaction, and suckers like us kind of fall for it, but I kind of think we should. Like, the last t-shirt they put out says the following. This is a t-shirt that they sold, and actually this is a t-shirt Victory Records sold with the record. Keep calm and ask your girl what my dick tastes like. That's a t-shirt they sold. They also had a t-shirt with the Columbine shooters on it that basically said well, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. And so I got to say, man, this band sucks. And I guess they're a reaction to the ever-growing sensitivity or perhaps PC nature of the United States. So these douchebags come along and see an opportunity that says, well, we'll just be as completely un-PC as we can. But they don't seem to be having a purpose behind it. They're like, we're just going to be a bunch of nasty kids. And then, you know, idiots will say, oh my god, they're so great. We'll have strippers in our videos and we'll say mean things about women. And oh, they had a song called Bring a Gun to School that was about shooting kids at school. And let's see what else. Oh, and Frankie Palmieri, he also put out t-shirts that had the Columbine shooters on it that said, let's see, what did it say? Oh, cuts deep. I don't even understand that. And some other things like that, you know, just they think it's funny to talk about, you know, shooting kids. And I'm not against offensive art. I'm not against challenging art. If there's a purpose behind it, if there's a reason behind it. But the only reason they're doing it is just to be brats. And there's no thought behind it. And they're idiots. And honestly, this guy makes me embarrassed to be Italian. I like to think we paisans are above that. You know what I mean? Like, all these different well, that's a side thing. Basically, what I'm saying is Italians, I think, are generally a pretty classy people, a pretty understanding people, maybe a little gruff, maybe a little loud, maybe a little crass sometimes.
Maybe a little hairy.
Definitely a little hairy. But I like to think they're at least thoughtful. And this asshole just makes us all look bad. I mean, really. I mean, this guy's disgusting. Victory Records is disgusting for putting this out. This band is disgusting. And here's the question. Should we actively try to stamp this out? And when I say we, I mean the punk community, the general community. Should we ignore them? Are they doing any damage? 14-year-olds love this band. This band is very, very big. 14-year-old girls love this band. They see these guys saying, does your girl like the taste of my dick? Like, 14-year-old girls should be seeing that. Are they harming our youth? Are they a threat? Or really, will a 14-year-old girl become an 18-year-old girl and realize how stupid this is? That's my question. Further point this out, is it even proper for us to fight against this? Like we are not the art police. We are not the societal police. Should we say this is bad, or should we say, well, people can listen to whatever they want, and if that's what they want to listen to, they can, or should we take a stance against this? Like what I'm saying is we are not the world's mommy against offensive art. I don't know.
I'm going to do the one thing I can do, John. I'm going to continue my boycott of this band personally. And if we all do that, I think we'll be right. But I love these, you know, these t-shirts. You know, I've discovered long ago that you can only have so many t-shirts that you can only wear to concerts. I mean, eventually you have to have a t-shirt to wear to lunch at grandma's. You can't wear the Dead Girls Don't Say No t-shirt everywhere. You know what I mean? You have to.
Hey, kids. Grandma, what's this girl, what's this dick taste like? Exactly. Hey, grandma, I'm an idiot.
It's, I don't know. Like I said, you can only have so many shirts that there are only appropriate to wear to concerts.
I don't think that we have to, like, I think that we can, you know, no one needs to censor this band or anything like that. Like, we don't have to stamp them out in that way. But I think that we can point out repeatedly that the message that this band puts forth is stupid and, you know, people then can take that and make their own decision.
Well, I think that's what we're doing. And the point is, these guys are like 25, 26, maybe even 30, and they're saying to 14-year-old girls, you know, what's my dick taste like? Like, it'd be one thing if they were like 16 and just a bunch of idiot kids, but these are grown men, you know what I mean? And also, they're always like, you know, we make so much money, we'll beat you up. These guys are not – I mean, I'm not a tough guy. I can't speak for Adam. I can't speak for Tom Trauma. Well, I know Tom Trauma is a tough guy. But if these guys met real tough guys, they'd have a rude awakening. But it's just because, like, I guess society keeps them in this plastic bubble where they get to play pretend all day that they're gangsters and that they, like, have sex with – I mean, I'm sure they do have sex with a lot of girls. But the point is they're not tough. This is all complete storytelling, and it's cheesy and it's stupid, you know.
Don't you ever look at these bands like a Falling in Reverse or something? And it's these tiny little like 120-pound guys. And did you ever look at a band like that, John, and say, I could beat up every guy in that band at once?
Well, I do.
And maybe even not you. Maybe let's put it in a different spin. Let's say if your entire band could be beat up all at one time by a 30-year-old, maybe Lemmy, I'm probably not going to listen to your band.
Yeah. I mean, well... It just bothers me that these guys are 26, 27, 30, and they don't have the common sense. Maybe I shouldn't be singing to 14-year-old girls, suck my dick, bitch, suck my dick. Like, you're not 16. You're a man child. You're an idiot.
Listen, dude, those neck tattoos will come in really handy when he's managing a Little Caesars, you know?
Well, that's true. That's true. And I guess one of the sweet reliefs of this is even though these bands sell a lot of records, these bands generally do not tend to make a lot of money at the end of the day once the band is over. They often wind up deep in debt.
Well, their tours usually have like 27 bands on the bill.
And honestly, these are the kind of bands that waste a lot of money to get tour buses and all this shit. So anyway, this band sucks. Honestly, I just wanted to bring it up just to – if anyone's listening that is in this kind of music, and honestly, they're probably preaching to the choir. But, you know, if you got a little sister that listens to Amir, if you got a little brother that listens to Amir, you know, just say to them, you know, there's way better music out there. This music is just dumb. It's not clever. It's offensive, but it's not clever. It's worthless. This music gets a 1 out of 10 in my book. And I rarely give 1s out of 10s, but this gets 1 out of 10 in my book.
I'm glad I'm using a fake name. I wouldn't like to be attacked by 5 tiny little guys at once.
Well, I would. That'd be hilarious. Like 5 little guys. Tom Trauma versus 5 little guys. WrestleMania 3, 1987. Let's talk about an awesome band. Let's talk about the Cows and the Melvins. Way better than Amir. The Cows are reuniting. The Cows, in case you don't know, the Cows are kind of a post-punk, kind of a grunge, kind of a art punk, art rock, sludge rock kind of group. They're very weird. They're very harsh. Their main guy is kind of like a psychotic Iggy Pop. Well, they're playing a show way out in Grumpy's. Grumpy's is the bar owned by Tom Hazelmeyer. Of Amphetamine Reptile Records. The festival is June 11th at Grumpy's in Minneapolis. Tom Trauma, you should go to this. This will be awesome. It's the Cows. It's the Melvins. It's Run West Run. Hammerhead. Lay Butcherettes, which is an awesome band. Hepatitis. Gay Witch Abortion. This will be a cool little show to go to.
That will be a cool show. Unfortunately, as much as we're all in the Midwest, it's like a 12-hour drive.
So it is?
I do not think I will make it, yeah. Got to go all the way through Wisconsin, all the way under Lake Michigan. Yeah, it's a long drive.
I've got a lot of frequent flyer mileage, and I'm thinking about flying out for this.
Seriously? Yeah, that's a cool show. Well, if I were like 3 hours away, I'd gladly meet you over there, but...
Yeah.
I got to go, you know, I got to drive down to St. Louis to see Sloppy Seconds this year, so I got to...
That's going to be awesome.
I got to save all my money for that. But I love these AMRAP bands, man. I was a big fan of almost all of these bands. Some of them I still follow religiously. Today is the Day, Helmet, and some of these bands. But that label, man, they had an ear for what was going on. You know, as the grunge movement was, like, sweeping in popularity, it was like the kind of the... underground grunge movement, but the Cows were not really one of my favorites, I want to say, but I love all that stuff. I would gladly see that if they made it a tour and brought it, you know, within a couple hours of me.
Adam White, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry. I keep muting my mic because of my weird situation here. There's a cat trying to eat next to me. It's making a lot of crunching noises. So anyways, yeah, I mean, the cows were not my generation of stuff, but, you know, this is cool. If you can make it to this show, that would be, something to do. It's much further than 12 hours for me though.
Oh, I don't know. You could kind of sneak in sideways maybe.
Eh, you know, it's a circular globe kind of thing.
But you could like drop in from the north. I have to go under Lake Michigan anyway.
In a tunnel?
What's that?
Not that you said under Lake Michigan, I was trying to.
No, I mean, yeah, on the map, not so much the. No, they don't have a tunnel yet. We're working on that.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like a lot. There's a lot of money in the Michigan, you know, in the Michigan budget for needless super projects, right?
Yeah. We need to afford another bridge.
We're trying to build that bridge. You won't let us.
I know. We're trying.
Okay. Let's talk about Good Riddance here. Maybe we'll talk shit about them, and then Epifat people can get mad at us. But maybe we won't, because this song was cool. So Good Riddance released a new video for the song Disputatio. Disputatio? What do you want? How do you pronounce this, people? Taking votes.
Yeah, someone? I'll take your second pronunciation there.
Disputatio? Anyways.
Disputatio.
Tatio. That sounds much cooler. We're going to go with that. Disputatio. All right. It's a track off their new album, Peace in Our Time, which is due out on April 21st, which is in a week or so from us recording this, on Fat Records. So you guys can check it out. There's a video that goes with this and everything. It is a nice, short little punk song. Good Riddance. It falls into that category of like Epitaph bands that we don't talk a whole hell of a lot about, but a lot of people super love. What do you guys think of this? Tom, you're into this.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I not that the band hasn't done some good stuff, but I just thought this was, I would dare say, as good as anything I've ever heard by them.
Or in the
ballpark of it, maybe.
I'm not a huge fan of this band. I thought the music was pretty rocking. You know, it was bombastic. It was hard charging. But here's my issue with all the Epifat bands is when they could get really down and nasty, they draw back. They never go for it and get really hard and really brutal. Like, that's why I love Off. That's why I love old school, like, you know, mid-school Ceremony. That's why I love... Actually, I like Pairs. I don't love Pairs, but I like Pairs. Is when it starts to build up, they don't pull back and go softer. They go harder and faster. And I'm just not a fan of the multi-layered processed vocals. I guess I'm not a fan of when they actually sing. I want yelling and screaming and spitting, not, oh, you know, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I want it to be nasty, and it's just not nasty. It's not terrible, though. I don't hate it.
Once again, high praise.
That was like a like if the brand new one was kind of like a mild, this one was like a enthusiastic, right? Like that's good.
Punk News says I don't hate it.
It's half a star better than brand new.
Well, this is the most positive podcast we've ever recorded.
Listen, I'll take this over a mirror every day of the week. I'll tell you that, man.
How many guys from Good Riddance would it take to beat up all five guys in the mirror?
One guy with a broken arm.
Two at best, yeah. Two at worst.
Speaking of music that had come out that people are into, Frank Carter, formerly the frontman of Gallows and one half of Pure Love, has released a new song that's part of a new project that he has called Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. The group includes the singer and Ghost of a Thousand drummer, Membi Jago. So there's a song that they put online. It is called Fangs. John, what do you think of Fangs here?
I liked it. I liked this. I don't know a whole lot about Gallows. I don't know a whole lot about Frank Carter. I know he used to be in Gallows, and I know he left. And I know a lot of people were bummed out. And I know that Frank Carter is known for being like amazing live. Never seen him live. I know he's English. He's English, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't know a whole lot about him, but I liked this. Didn't love it, but I liked it. It was, you know, berserk. He does have a good – you can just tell he does have a good performance. He varies his vocal style. I like the lyric. He's like, I've got fangs and I'll bite you or whatever. And I like songs where the refrain might be something simple but to the point, but then the actual lyrics or the – what's the opposite of the chorus? The what's the opposite
like
of
the – Like the verses?
The verses. elevate the course. So even though the course might seem simple at first, it actually has a more interesting, deeper meaning. I like this. It was hard hitting. It was rocking. I dig this.
I did too. And this actually sounds much more like the first Gallows album than the new Gallows album sounds like the first Gallows album. I've been revisiting all their albums as I was reviewing the new album. And yeah, I dig this. I always liked his voice. Not that the new Gallows is bad, but it's just not that kind of caustic punk rock like they once did. But yeah, I dig this. I'll check it out, definitely.
Now, Tom, did you review the new Gallows
record?
What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. There's a couple of songs that are turds on it, and of the 10 songs, I thought 8 of them were very good. There was a song that we talked about last time I was on, or a couple times ago when I was on, that kind of, they said it was kind of a Susie and the Banshee sound, and it sort of sounded like a bad Deftones B-side.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song was.
And there was one other song in there it's catchy as hell, but I swear it could have been a Linkin Park song. But the rest of it is like pretty raging, kind of raging metal-tinged hardcore, you know, hardcore punk, you know, and it's pretty good. Wade sounds good, everything, it's good, but I suspect the older fans will probably turn their back on the band at this point. That's my feeling about it. But I guess, you know, it remains to be seen.
All right. What else do we got? Are we burned through our story pile, John?
I think we've burned through it. Let's play some Cows. How about that? Let's open. A lot of the kids might not know the Cows. We talked about them earlier on the podcast. That's all right. This is one of their earlier singles, one of their most well-known songs. This is Shaking. It's off a record called Old Gold, which you're not going to get because it's super rare. That's a collection. It's also on their album Daddy Has a Tail, but you're not going to get that either because that's a super rare record. But you can find the Cows music around on iTunes and stuff. So this is Shaking by the Cows, and you can see them at Grumpy's Bash way out there in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
right, I think that's it. I think we did it. So next time we record one of these, we will hopefully not be
as positive
nor in this echoey laundry room that I'm in. So there you go. Something to look forward to, everybody. So yeah, awkward show ending.
I hate Amir. Well, I don't hate Amir. Here's the question. I don't want to draw this out. Are the guys in Amir capable of re-education, or are they just fundamentally stupid?
If anyone wants to email us.
That's not the question, John. The question is, okay, so the guys in the cows, they got to be in their early 50s. How many guys from the cows would it take to beat up all five guys in Amir?
One third. I'm interested. Kids, hey, are you pro Amir? Are you pro Attila? If you are, write in and let me know. And tell me what I'm missing about Attila. Or if you think they're shitty, or if you think there's something should be done, or if you think it should just be ignored, let us know. I really want to know the listener's opinion or what to do with this horrible band Amir. Podcast at punknews.org.